Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, December 4th, 2024, on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. Now, the calendar is just one page, and of course I am excited. Had to throw that in. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza downstairs. We're going to be apart for the month of December because he can't record shows on the same day that I can, so we won't be co-hosting for this month. Anyway, we're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprout. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at Fran Storch ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on this show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. If you're listening to the WHUS broadcast, today, December 4th, is my nephew Tali's 16th birthday. Happy birthday, Tali! Have fun at Great Adventure! We are Sagittariuses together, and it's also the 48th anniversary of when I became Bat Mitzvah on the Gregorian calendar. And I think that Tali's Bar Mitzvah also, which was 3 years ago, was also on December 4th. So we had our bar bat mitzvahs on the same day, and we're both Sagittariuses. So he's a little special to me because we're both Sagges. So I just let him know that I give him a little extra just because he's a middle child. And so that can be an issue when you're a middle child. He definitely has some classic middle child stuff going on. We have my nephew Harry, which we're excessively proud of, who successfully got into Gettysburg University and is doing great there. He's doing field, not track, but field. He's throwing the shot put and maybe some other field events. And he's also in the marching band playing the bass clarinet. So we're super proud of him. And he's studying IT. So that's really exciting. And then we have Marley, who is the youngest child. He's have some youngest child stuff going on. And he is a little, very handsome little love, little Aquarius boy. We just adore him. So anyway, but Tali's in the middle. He's a Sag. He works really hard. He really tries hard. He's very, very smart. And he plays soccer. And we're super proud of him. Anyway, so happy birthday, Tali. Hope I get to see you before too long. All right. So this Thanksgiving was my birthday, which happens every few years. And it happened on the day I was born. So in 1963, it was Thanksgiving Day. So I have a fun way to celebrate my birthday. I'm now 61, in case you're wondering. How did that happen? I just don't know. I give you permission to raise a glass in honor of that day. You don't need to wish me a happy birthday. Just use it as an excuse to celebrate. You know, have a party in honor of Fran. And you don't even have to, you know, talk about me or do anything more than that. But say, hey, it was Fran's birthday. Let's celebrate. Let's raise a glass. Let's have a party. Let's play a game of Uno or something. I don't know. Anyway, I have a belief that it's legal to celebrate my birthday anywhere from November 22nd, which is the beginning of the Thanksgiving zone, all the way to December 15th, or as soon as you remember, whenever that is. If you forget but remember it at any other time, time to celebrate it right then, and I don't even need to know about it. Or I can know about it, and that would be nice too. So any which way, just a reason to celebrate is just a good thing these days. So for Thanksgiving, usually we go to Ron's sister Susan's to celebrate, but our nephew, their son, had a baby 2 years ago, so they went to D.C., the District of Columbia, to see the baby. It was just Ron and me for Thanksgiving dinner because my mom and sister and the rest of Ron's family live far away. We did have dessert and drinks at our house after dinner, which was nice. So my friends Jackie and Dave came over, and that was very lovely. And then my sister and her family and my mother all Facebook messaged, you know, video chatted with me. And so I got to see them, and Jackie participated in the call, and that was fun too. We had nice dessert. I got cupcakes from a cupcake for later, which was lovely. And we shared them around. And I also made a wonderful, I made a non-apple crisp. So that it was the same kind of streusel that I like to make with organic butter, evaporated cane juice, real maple syrup, grade B maple syrup. And I use gluten-free flour and organic rolled oats. And that makes, I mush it all together, makes a wonderful streusel topping. And then I got organic. So when you're making a crumble, you can use frozen berries, and you can get organic frozen berries easily at the store, and they're not too expensive. So I had a bag of organic blueberries and a bag of organic mixed berries, and then I cut in 2 Anjou pears. So for crisps, just like, you know how for apple crisp, it's nice to mostly use Granny Smith apples because they're tart and they are, and they hold together well. They're very firm. So instead of that, I used Anjou pears. And Anjou pears are also tart and very firm. And you don't let them get too ripe. They can get pretty ripe, but they're on the tart side. So you don't let them get too ripe. And I cut 2 of those in. So it was a pear berry crumble. It was very nice. And we served ice cream with it. I didn't eat the dairy ice cream. I had cashew-based vanilla ice cream, but everybody else got vanilla, real vanilla ice cream. And I have coconut-based whip topping. So that was nice too. It's like Cool Whip, but it's not Cool Whip. It's coconut-based. So we used that, and that was great too. And then for dinner, we had a roast turkey, which I had requested. I like turkey on Thanksgiving. I don't like the non-traditional Thanksgiving food. And we had gluten-free stuffing, and we had a rice, wild rice quinoa mix, and which I had made. And I made 3 sisters, which is black beans, winter squash, and corn. So I mixed that together and seasoned it with some olive oil and salt and pepper and some everything seasoning. And we had roasted broccoli with fakey Parmesan cheese on it. And that was great too. So it was very nice Thanksgiving. And I made cranberry sauce. And my goodness, homemade cranberry sauce. I know it's really fun to get the can. I didn't bother to get the can. It is really easy to make homemade cranberry sauce. You take the bag, you get a 12-ounce bag of frozen cranberries, you throw it in the pot, 1/3 of a cup of maple syrup. I like to use real maple, grade B maple syrup, dump it in. 1/3 of a cup of water, dump it in. A whole orange. In my case, I was unable to find one loose orange at the store. Who knows why? Big Y didn't have any, they didn't have a display of oranges. Maybe the oranges aren't ready yet. I don't know. So they had no loose, large size oranges. All they had was bags of clementines and mandarin oranges. And they had, Big Y has a stand where children can grab fruit as a snack. And they had mandarin oranges as one of the snacks. So I grabbed 2 of those. And so the juice of those 2 mandarins went into the cranberry sauce. And if the oranges are organic, you can grate the rind in as well. It gives it a little tartness. So this cranberry sauce is pretty tart. I mean, it's not enough sugar to make it super sweet. And then you just boil it. You simmer it until it gets to cranberry sauce consistency, and then you're done. And it's so easy. And we have some leftover. And then you can either eat the cranberry sauce as it is with your leftovers, or you can make some kind of a dessert with it. Some people layer chocolate over it, and they make chocolate cranberry confection. Or you can take the cranberry and make another crumble with it. That works too. And I'm thinking about maybe doing that. Just making some more streusel topping and putting it over the cranberry and baking it, and then we'll have cranberry streusel, and that'll be super delicious. So those are fun things that you can do. And remember that cranberries are really good for you. They're really high in anthocyanins, which are wonderful antioxidants. I think they have some ellagic acid in them, which are also terrific antioxidants. So they're really good for your cardiovascular health and strengthening your blood vessels and preventing oxidative stress in general. Of course, cranberries have the anti-adhesiveness factor, so they're good for your urinary tract. But you don't have to think of cranberries as things you only eat on the holidays. You can eat them any time of year. It's legal. Although you harvest them in the autumn, and you can see the cranberry bogs various places. We have cranberry bogs in Massachusetts. There was a week a couple of years ago, I think it was 2019, where I did 2 major bike rides, and and they were both cranberry bog rides, and one of them was in Massachusetts. So we rode our bikes, and it was lovely because it was a relatively flat route. And so we rode our bikes past the cranberry bogs in Massachusetts. And I did another one that year in New Jersey. And did you know there are cranberry bogs in the Pine Barrens? I didn't know that Ocean Spray has an installation in the Pine Barrens. And that was really cool. So I saw cranberry bogs 2 different weeks. And in fact, I can't remember which ride it was. One of them, it might have been the New Jersey one. they at one of the rest stops had Ocean Spray cranberry snacks for, you know, different ones you can get, you know, just dried cranberries as a snack. And they might have had the yogurt coated dried cranberries, and that was really nice, too. The other thing that I am finding, which is kind of exciting, is I now seem to be able to tolerate a little bit of dairy. I'm not going to go crazy eating dairy. I'm still going to have dairy substitute in my cereal and in my protein shakes. And I'm most days, if I'm wanting cheese on a sandwich or in my salad, it's going to be non-dairy cheese like food. And I have some very good quality brands. They're cashew based and they're very good. Although I'm finding that if I eat a little bit of raw milk cheese, dairy, like I throw a couple of cubes in my salad or over my hot dish, whether it's, we've been having jambalaya, which is wonderful. I've been having soups and stews, and they're marvelous. And if I put a little bit of those melted, I can tolerate it. I had maybe a taste of the ice cream last night, and that was fine. And I had Bailey's last night, which I haven't had in ages. And the last time I had Bailey's, I didn't do well with it. It was a couple of years ago. And now my belly's like, yeah, I can do this. So I wouldn't like start eating dairy as a staple every day, and I will take breaks from it, but I think I can have a little bit every couple of days. So I'm kind of psyched about that. That means I've gotten my inflammation down, particularly in my digestive system. I can also have a little bit of gluten, and I'm, again, not going to have gluten every day. So my everyday sandwiches that go to work are on gluten-free bread. Most of the time, if I'm doing pastries and stuff, they're going to be gluten-free. My cereals are gluten-free. But if I feel like having a little gluten-free, like I've been getting sourdough once a month and sharing it with my staff. And so I go through a quarter of a loaf of sourdough. And when that's done, I don't get it for a month. And I probably, you know, after the thing is that the bakery is near my naturopath. So it's only when I see the naturopath, I go to the bakery and get the wonderful sourdough, share it around, and then don't have it again for a month. So I might start doing that every couple of months. And if I'm somewhere and there's no good gluten-free options and I want a pastry, I might have the pastry and I wind up not finishing it and either giving the rest away or not finishing it at home and winding up throwing it out. So I'm still very careful with it, but I'm not like gonna eat gluten all the time because I still have a concern that it's gonna be inflammatory. So that's kind of exciting. Anyway, so then more on Thanksgiving, I realized that my mom would rather have us with her at Thanksgiving. So if I can get to a place where I don't have to work as much, I will try to make sure I have Thanksgiving with my mother. So I'll try that. It's just so hard to travel at that time of year. The thing to do might be to plan to spend 2 weeks and go down like the Wednesday a week before Thanksgiving and go home 2 weeks later on Wednesday. That might be the way to do it. I don't know. I'll figure it out. All right. So we were supposed to walk the Manchester Road Race, but it wound up being absolutely chilly and rainy and like really rainy. And they did have a reduced attendance this year. And Ron's legs are still not right, and he still he's already had his blood drawn for the deep dive Lyme test. So we're waiting on the results of that, and then he's going to get scheduled to see if he does in fact have peripheral artery disease, and because he's still having symptoms. And he was just very concerned that between the cold and the pain in his legs and climbing the big hill on the way to the to Highland Park Market, he just wasn't going to make it. We may decide to go and walk the course on a sunny day and then stop at one of our favorite cafes in Manchester afterwards. So we'll see if he feels up to it, then maybe we'll do that tomorrow or, you know, in the next couple of days over the Thanksgiving weekend. So we didn't do the Manchester Road Race, which is kind of disappointing. I was going to go as Beverly Crusher from Star Trek because I took a quiz to figure out which Star Trek character I am. And of course, I came out as Beverly Crusher. I was going to color my hair temporarily red and I didn't do that. I still have the stuff. So if we want to do it, I'll do it another time. I still have the costume. I wore the costume on Halloween to work, so I'll do that again. I found a blue duster like Beverly Crusher wore and also a next-gen pin that I put on the duster. And I didn't dye my hair. So I hope that 61 is a good year. So my health update, this minute I'm feeling pretty good. I felt a little exhausted on Wednesday after working 2 days straight, and now I feel pretty good. My knees are okay, knock on wood. I don't feel particularly dizzy. I'm tolerating the lisinopril 5 milligrams well. And so we're on our way. The thing that's the hardest is that I do get tired. I can get really, really tired, like to the point of feeling toxically tired. And that's still an issue. If I overdo it, and the worst overdoing it is working at my job, like being at the job all day and looking at screens and focusing and being really intense. That's the hardest thing. When on non-work days, even if I'm really busy or I get intense exercise, I seem to be okay. And today, before I did this, I did an hour of on the bike and on the trainer because it's cold, and I did a hard workout followed by some easy spinning, and I'm fine. So we'll see how that goes. And poor Ron, as I said, we're waiting on getting some diagnosis for his legs. So, all right. So I wanted to talk about this time of year. It's getting dark out, and dark affects people. And I have patients coming in who are unhappy about the dark. Oh, I didn't talk about birthday presents. One of the birthday presents I got is really worth showing you. So if you're watching the Facebook Live or Instagram Live, I'm going to show this to you. I got a really cool gift. This was suggested. So big shout out to my acupuncturist, Nicole, who suggested this to me. She said you could get a pillow that you can put on your, like, if you like to read in bed, or if you like to use your device in bed, whether it's your tablet or your phone, you can get a pillow stand that's soft, and you can put on top of your, on your lap, and put your device on it and use it. And because I complained to her that I was getting some swelling in my left wrist because I was getting tech wrist. I'm holding my heavy phone in this hand and playing on my phone, playing a game or just looking at my phone in bed and holding it up. And I had some swelling in my left wrist now. So she said, why don't you get these pillows? Because obviously she uses her laptop or devices while reclined. And I got this great thing on Amazon. So I'm going to show it to you. Have a look if you're on Facebook Live or Instagram Live. And it's this great thing. It comes in this nifty color. It comes in other colors too. I bought one for another beloved person. We'll see if they like it. And I bought that one in blue. But this one is sort of a pinky purple or a purpley pink, whatever. And what's cool about it is it velcros. So it velcros here. So you have the stand and that you lean your device against. And then it has three ridges, so that you can lean your device at three different options of angle. So it's very nice, and I've used it, and I'm very happy with it. I'm using it right now because I use my outline is on my iPad, and I put the iPad in one of the ridges. I'm in the second ridge, and it sits on my lap, and it's the pillow is on my lap and leaning against the desk a little bit, and it's great. So if you're reclining even further, you don't even have to touch it, and then your hand's free, or just when you're moving things around, but you're not holding the thing up and hurting your wrist. So this is a really a very nice device because it's going to save my wrists. I'm very pleased with it. So it's something you can get, and because this time of year you might be lying in bed more, playing a game or reading a book, or I can put an actual book on it too, and I will try to do that, like an actual paper book. I've been taking so long to read a book that my library renewed the book I'm reading twice. I feel silly it's only because I haven't sat still long enough to read it. Not that it doesn't, that takes that long to read. I mean, it's a book that was written about the month of October, and it's almost December. It's going to be December by the time they extended the due date to early December. Now they extended it to Christmas Eve, and I'm hoping to finish it by the end of the weekend. We'll see if that happens. So anyway, so I got that. Ron bought me a little necklace that's a peace sign with flowers and turquoise. Very nice. And I also got something that's really trendy. That's a hoodie coat. So it's a hoodie, it's fleece, and it comes down to my knees. It's really nice. So it's like a cozy coat, and it's an alternative to a regular coat, and you can throw it on, and it keeps more of you warm. So So I'm psyched. So that was nice. All right. So let's talk about the dark and seasonal affective disorder, because my patients, as I said, have been coming in, talking to me about it and concerned about the dark and how they're going to be affected by it. Not everybody has seasonal affective disorder, but here's the deal with seasonal affective disorder, and we'll talk about like on the road to seasonal affective disorder. I don't think I have it because I find ways to be cheered this time of year. I was watching TV while I was doing my workout this morning, and Oprah came on and was talking about, boy, she loves a rainy day with a book and a cup of tea. And I'm like, I so agree with that. And she was talking about the fact that she and Al Roker are now 70 and they like relaxing more. And I remember years ago talking to my friend Lois Hare, who's a naturopath up in Nova Scotia. She was talking about how as she gets older, she really appreciates time for quiet contemplation, that she appreciates that more than she did when she was younger. And I'm starting to get to understand that now that I'm 61. And Oprah mentioned how she loves it. A rainy day is a great day to not be expected to go out and to stay home and relax. And I just so agree with that. So, you know, if you lean into the darkness, you're going to be happier about it. Now, I know some people really have seasonal affective disorder, and seasonal affective disorder is a real disorder where it gets dark and people's hormones don't regulate, and that's why they feel excessive depression. So the symptoms usually begin around late fall or early winter and end in the spring, but you can get symptoms other times of a year, and you may not get the condition every year. There tend to be two types of seasonal affective disorder. I didn't realize that. There's winter pattern and summer pattern. Summer pattern occurs in 10% of cases. The 10% of people have seasonal affective disorder in the summer. Who knew? Symptoms of either pattern last around 4 or 5 months and can include low energy, difficulty with sleep, depression, trouble concentrating, and even thoughts of suicide. My God. Symptoms of winter pattern seasonal affective disorder may also include overeating, daytime fatigue, lack of interest in social activities, weight gain. And the thing with weight gain and lack of interest in social activities, some level of that in this time of year is normal, I think. People tend to eat more in the winter because they're cold. They're layering it on. It just the cold gives you more of an appetite. And it's natural to want to pile on some so that you're warmer in the winter. It's just that you wind up having to take it off later in the year. And wanting to hunker down and be at home more this time of year is natural too. But this is an extreme lack of interest in social. Like, you just don't want to see anybody. You don't want to go out for any reason. Symptoms of summer pattern may include restlessness, also difficulty sleeping, agitation, lack of appetite, weight loss, even violence. So the exact cause is unknown, and contributing factors can vary from person to person. And it's thought, of course, to be influenced by light. There's a theory that decreased sunlight exposure in the winter and increased exposure in the spring and summer affect the natural biological clock that regulates hormones, sleep, and moods. Individuals who are affected by SAD may have difficulty regulating their biological clock, that is, your circadian rhythm. Abnormal levels of hormone serotonin and melatonin in people with SAD may also disrupt their circadian rhythm. There's research from 2016 that shows that SAD appears to be more likely in people whose brains maintain high levels of serotonin transporters, which leads to low levels of serotonin. So this the transport of this neurotransmitter happens a lot faster, so you break it down more and you just don't have as much around. People with SAD may also produce too much melatonin, and which controls and promotes sleep. Sometimes we tell people with seasonal affective disorder to take melatonin, and sometimes it's like that's not the thing you do because you're already making too much of it. And people will figure that out if they take it. I mean, melatonin is pretty benign. If you have side effects to it, they're not extreme. If you are melatonin sufficient and you take it, you're probably just going to get weird dreams, even nightmares, and feel groggy in the morning. And I tell people, when if they've taken melatonin, then either their and that happens to them, either their dose is too high or they just don't need it at all. That whatever is making it so they can't sleep or they're having mood issues, it's not their melatonin status and they shouldn't take it. So individuals who have seasonal affective disorder, it's more likely to happen in areas that have long winter nights. So the higher the latitude, the more likely this is to happen to you. And where they have less sunlight. So the condition is more common in Canada and Alaska, of course, than in sunny Florida. The neat thing about Florida, as hot as it's getting there, unfortunately, is that the normal curve of day length in Florida is fairly even. There's not a lot of change in day length. That, you know, they have longer days than we have. The difference between day length in the summer solstice versus the winter solstice in Florida is not nearly as much as it is here. I mean, we get right now, our sunrise in Mansfield, Connecticut is probably happening at 4:20, 4:25. We're going to bottom out. We're very close to the nadir of the sunset. So the sunset nadir is going to happen. I think I talked about it already. It's going to happen soon. It's the first weekend, and it's going to happen next week. And then our sunset is going to stay at something like 4:16 or 4:18 p.m. And it's going to stay there until like December 13th. And then on December 14th, then we're going to start gaining minutes at the end of the day, even though it's not solstice yet. So I'll talk about that in a little bit. So anyway, the further north you go, the worse it is. So if you live in Seattle, then by the way, Seattle is even with parts of Newfoundland. People don't realize that Seattle sits at about 46th parallel. The 46th parallel goes through Newfoundland. At the top of Newfoundland, the northern peninsula, goes up to something like 48, 49. It's, you know, very close to 50, and it's even with parts of England. That's why when you go to England, you fly over Newfoundland. I remember that. I remember not thinking too much about Newfoundland until I wound up flying to England and they would tell us that we were over Newfoundland. And then I went and lived there for a year and a half. Anyway, so, and it was hard because the day length is very short at the solstice. And it was nice because it was long. That was fun that it was long in the middle of the summer. That was pretty cool. So, anyway, so people with seasonal affective disorder is more common in women than in men, and it's most likely to begin in younger adults between the ages of 18 and 30. People with a family history of SAD and other psychological conditions are at greater risk. And individuals with other mental health conditions are more likely to experience SAD. About 25% of people with bipolar disorder and between 10 and 20% of people with major depressive disorder have seasonal affective disorder. How is it diagnosed? Well, a doctor or mental health care professional are going to ask you several questions about your symptoms. They'll ask you about your depression, that the episodes that occur only during a specific season, at least 2 years in a row, and if you have frequent depressive episodes during that particular season. If you only have minor mood changes with the seasons, you may have subsyndromal season affective disorder instead of SAD. That means you have it like a subclinical case of it, that you definitely have some changes, but they're not extreme. So if your symptoms continue past the change in season, you may be diagnosed with bipolar disorder or depressive disorder. To treat it, it can be treated with counseling, medications, therapy. It can be treated with cognitive behavioral therapy, which can help people to focus on positive thoughts and activities rather than negative ones. And some people take antidepressants because if the issue is that you're not regulating your serotonin well, if you take selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, that's going to help you to have more serotonin on board and around. So drugs like paroxetine or fluoxetine, paroxetine is known as Paxil, fluoxetine is known as Prozac, sertraline is known as Zoloft, and bupropion is not an SSRI, it's a dopamine enhancer. And some people use that to good effect. If you tend to be low in dopamine, bupropion might help you as well. The other thing to do is to make sure you get your vitamin D level checked. Some people with seasonal affective disorder, turns out that they have very low vitamin D levels, and you want to get your vitamin D at least 50 to 55 nanograms per milliliter. And if it's not there, you need to take supplements to get it up there. It's very hard to make vitamin D at these latitudes. You really need the sun to be at least 50 degrees above the horizon for that to happen. And where we live here in Mansfield, that only happens for 6 months out of the year. It doesn't even make it to 50 degrees above the horizon for half the year. And then when it does happen, on the day of the summer solstice, it's only there for 5 hours. So that's, 2 hours on either side of 1 o'clock, which is 1 o'clock is really noon during daylight savings time. And it's only there for five hours. And you have to be mostly uncovered and you have to be out in it. And so the rest of the year, so if you're looking at, say, so you're at the solstice. Solstice is June 21st. If you're looking at July 21st, it's only there for 3.5-4 hours and you have to be out in it. That's not the best idea because you get sunburned. And you do kind of have to be out in it without sunscreen because the sunscreen will prevent the ultraviolet light from doing its thing and getting and affecting your hormones. So and helping you to make vitamin D. So getting your vitamin D checked is important. And if your vitamin D is low, then your friendly local naturopath or other practitioner who's measuring your vitamin D will help you to determine a dose of vitamin D that works for you. And the dose is different for different people. And I wind up having to screen people's vitamin D levels to figure out what a good dose for them would be. And there are studies that show it's not effective. And I have patients who really report to me that when their vitamin D level is where it's supposed to be, that their moods are better. Healthy lifestyle habits like getting regular exercise and sun exposure, regardless of the time of year, can also help. And you can sit, you can, if you have a sunroom, that's a great thing to have. Or just a sunny window, a place where you can sit by the window and get sunshine if you're not wanting to go outside. Of course, getting outside, regardless of the time of year, is a really good idea. It's going to be really helpful to helping your mood. And getting exercise, the thing with getting exercise is exercise tires your body out in a good way, and you sleep better when you get regular exercise. And when you get better sleep, any level of mental illness is going to, you're going to be in better shape from that. The other thing you can do is actual light therapy. And what's nice about that is nothing you put in your mouth. You just sit in front of an appropriate light. So when you do light therapy, you get a specialized light box and you can sit in front of the light box for at least 30 minutes a day to help replicate natural light. So it has frequencies, all the frequencies that the sun has in it to help you. Light therapy can have side effects. It can give you eye fatigue, dizziness, or headaches. And if you have certain eye diseases or have had eye surgery, or you're sensitive to light due to medications, or have bipolar disorder, if you have certain other illnesses that make you photosensitive, you may not be able to do it. You can also get a dawn simulator. It uses a time-activated light to mimic the sunrise, which helps to stimulate the body's clock, to stimulate the body's clock. And you can get dawn simulators with timers on them. They can also be clocks. They can be alarm clocks, and now alarm clocks are really clever. I know that my phone, you can choose the alarm that you want on your phone, but the default alarm on my Google Pixel is this beautiful little gentle tune that plays chimes. Do, 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 do. It's very cute. So it doesn't have to be an obnoxious loud sound. It's just a sound that, and there's lots of options that you can choose, but it doesn't have to be a raging, scary alarm clock unless that's what you really need to get out of bed. So light therapy, you should only use it under a doctor's supervision, and you should use approved devices, and it can and you can use it with other therapies, including medication if you need to. If you experience symptoms that are related to SAD, you can go to a counselor or a psychiatrist, and it's important if your symptoms are impacting your everyday life. And it, since it occurs on a regular schedule, you can talk with your doctor before the symptoms come back and help prevent them. So if you regularly feel depressed and have difficulty sleeping during certain seasons, especially the winter, it could be SAD. You should talk to your doctor about it. Don't just assume you have it. Talk to somebody who can help you with those symptoms and diagnose you. Light therapy can be helpful. Increasing exercise and natural light exposure is certainly a good idea. And if you have symptoms, like I said, talk to your doctor and the doctor can help you with a treatment plan. So here are vitamins to help you with seasonal depression. We need more research on vitamins in general to help with seasonal depression. So people take vitamins for seasonal depression, and there's a number of treatments that can be helpful. And those natural supplements can help as well. So we talked about the symptoms. Here's some more symptoms. Of course, you can have difficulty sleeping, as we said. You can feel depressed. You can feel guilty, worthless, or hopeless. You can have low energy and lack of interest in your usual activities, trouble with concentration, and also even suicidal thoughts. And winter pattern, as we said, slowed movements or speech, weight gain, increased appetite, overeating, fatigue, and summer pattern, you tend to be more agitated, irritability, restlessness, angry outbursts, low appetite, and weight loss. So vitamin D is something that's used to help with seasonal affective disorder. Serotonin plays an important role in regulating mood and sleep, and it, like many other things in your body, is vitamin D dependent. So research has found a strong association between vitamin D deficiency and seasonal affective disorder. And I have had patients tell me that if they don't get adequate vitamin D or if they stop taking their vitamin D supplement, they become depressed. So that's interesting. So there was a study in 2020 that found that vitamin D supplements reduced negative emotions in people with major depressive disorder. But it's not quite conclusive about seasonal affective disorder, but it's worth, the reason to take vitamin D is you get your vitamin D tested, your blood levels are low, then it's a good idea to take it. Unless there's some reason you can't, like it gives you kidney stones or it hurts your liver or you have some kind of side effect where you can't take it. I do have some patients like that, but if you don't get side effects from taking vitamin D, it's a good idea to take it if your vitamin D levels are low. I take vitamin D every day. So I'm convinced that I have there's a gene that controls how you absorb your vitamin D. And I think I have an anomaly and I don't absorb it so well. So I take vitamin K2 and vitamin A to help me absorb the vitamin D. So St. John's wort, also known as hypericum perforatum, it's marketed to help depression, anxiety, and sleep issues. And there's a review of studies that looked at it for depression. Some research suggested it could reduce symptoms of depression, but the research thinks there's not enough evidence. I do have patients who take St. John's wort, and it does help them with their mood. I've certainly seen it be helpful for nerve pain. You can use St. John's wort oil on painful spots on your body, and it can help. And we will also offer homeopathic St. John's wort or St. John's wort tincture for nerve pain and also for mood. And some people find that it's very helpful. Although there's some studies that suggest there's not enough evidence, I'm telling you anecdotally what I've seen in my practice, that some people use it and do find it helpful and other people use it and then they don't, which is like anything, that, you know, anything can do anything to anyone. You can offer something to somebody and find that it doesn't work, and you can offer something to somebody and find that it does. It's everybody's different. That's just kind of how that goes. So St. John's wort can have side effects and interact with certain medications like other antidepressants. I wouldn't be real comfortable giving St. John's wort because we think that it enhances serotonin function. So if somebody's already on an SSRI, like what we said, fluoxetine, paroxetine, sertraline, what was the other one? Fluvoxamine is another one. Any of those drugs, those are SSRIs, so selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Did we say escitalopram? We didn't say escitalopram is also known as Lexapro. That's a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. And then the drugs that do both serotonin and norepinephrine, that's going to be your Pristiq, which is and things like venlafaxine and amitriptyline and nortriptyline. Those also have, they all have mixed effects. There's selective serotonin and norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors, and so they also affect serotonin. So I would not be comfortable giving St. John's wort while taking those things as well. St. John's wort can interfere with birth control pills because there are phytoestrogens in it. So for some people, you know, I tend to forget that St. John's wort has that. But I remember when we learned about all the herbs with phytoestrogens, St. John's wort was one of them. Cyclosporine. So if cyclosporine is an anti-rejection drug. It's an immunosuppressant that's used for people with transplants. It's also in Restasis, the eye drops that you use to suppress inflammation in your eyes so that you make more tears. And whether it's going to interfere with that, I'm not sure, but it might. But, you know, of course, the dose of cyclosporine that's in the eye drops can be much lower than if you're taking it to prevent organ rejection. So, but if you're taking cyclosporine, it's probably not a good idea to take St. John's wort if you're taking it because you have an organ transplant. There are certain medications for heart disease, cancer, and HIV that it can interfere with. St. John's wort has antiviral properties. We do give it for, it's great, a great antiherpetic because it can fight herpes viruses and also help with the pain caused by herpes viruses. So if you get cold sores or genital herpes, St. John's wort can be helpful for that, but it stands to reason if it has antiviral activity, it can interfere with antivirals. It says medications for heart disease. I'm not sure which ones. It does specifically say blood thinners, especially warfarin. And a lot of herbs are antiplatelet aggregators, but really average herbs that you wouldn't think of. If you eat a lot of produce, just eating leafy greens, they can have, the funny thing about leafy greens is they have a lot of vitamin K in them, vitamin K1, which helps you to clot, but also has other compounds like coumarins that are, antiplatelet aggregators that thin your blood. So St. John's wort can do that as well. So you have to be careful if you're taking a blood thinner, especially warfarin, which is vitamin K dependent. So you want to talk to a medical professional before you use it, especially a naturopath who's more likely to know about it. Melatonin is used to help seasonal affective disorder, of course. It's naturally produced by your brain's pituitary gland. I'm pointing to my nose because if you go in deep, that's where mine is and yours as well. And so if you're talking chakras, it's related to the third eye chakra. Does it say it's made by the pituitary gland? Because that's not right. It's made by the pineal gland. It says pituitary gland. I think this article's wrong. It's actually made by the pineal gland, which again is behind your third eye. So your body produces melatonin at night, which gets your body ready for sleep. And it's so you can take it as a natural sleep aid. Seasonal changes may affect your circadian rhythm, which can affect your sleep-wake cycle. And there's 2020 research that suggests that poor sleep plays a role in both summer and winter pattern SAD. Since sleeplessness and poor sleep can worsen your mood, quality sleep could improve the symptoms of depression. If you use melatonin supplements, it can improve your sleep, but you want to be aware of the side effects of melatonin. Even though it can be bought over the counter, you want to talk to a doctor about using it long term and what dose you use. And again, what I tell people is if you take melatonin and you wake up groggy, or when you're sleeping, you have weird dreams or even nightmares, you probably are taking too high of a dose, or you shouldn't be taking it at all because you're melatonin sufficient. I would be afraid to take melatonin. I mean, I was told back when I was having the bad reaction to the COVID vaccine, I had an elevated D-dimer, which indicated that I probably had microclots. So I was talking to my friend and colleague, Sean Brady, about the fact that I probably had microclots because that's why my D-dimer was elevated. One of the things he suggested was that I take melatonin. And melatonin is not just helpful for sleep. It is a great immune tonic as well. So whatever's going on in your immune system, whether you have Lyme disease or lots of colds and flu, or if you had a bad reaction to a vaccine, or, you know, if you have cancer, we'd certainly use it for cancer. It's helpful for immunity. Well, it also helps to break down blood clots. And I said, Sean, I am afraid to take that because I sleep pretty good. At that time, I was waking up. One of the things that happened with people post-vaccine was they were waking up in the middle of the night with adrenals on fire. So you wake up in the middle of the night with your heart racing. You know, you're in a sound sleep, and for no particular reason, you wake up and your heart is racing, and you have to calm yourself down to get back to sleep. It did some weird things to people who were sensitive to them. I'm not saying nobody should take vaccines. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that there was a certain number of people, myself included, that had some bad reactions to it. And I think for my case, it was because I had too much too soon, that I had, you know, the two reactions in January and February, and then had the third one in November. And I probably had plenty of antibodies, and it just sent my inflammation into overdrive. And, my body couldn't handle some chronic Lyme and chronic tick-borne illness that it was keeping at bay. And then I had to deal with that. I'm much better now. Yay. So I wouldn't take melatonin personally. And so I encourage people, a lot of times if they haven't ever taken melatonin and they want to try it, I'll give them either liquid, and I love giving liquids for this because it's very easy to titrate the dose as opposed to having a pill. So you can, if you have a calibrated dropper in the bottle, then you could start with 0.5 milligram and see how you do with it, and then gradually increase your dose, and then find an optimal dose for you, whatever that is. And then if you prefer to take a pill and you've dialed it in and you're like, well, 3 milligrams works for me, you can get 3 milligram pills. Or if you like taking liquid, just keep taking the liquid. But titrating doses is important because people vary so much in terms of their weight, and also regardless of their weight, some people have slower metabolism. I think I have a slower metabolism when it comes to drugs, which is why I'm on my blood pressure med. I'm taking a baby dose and taking 5 milligrams of lisinopril, which seems to be working okay for me. And most of the people I know take at least 10. I have a patient came in recently. She was taking 30 milligrams. So people, the doses really vary. And I'm not skinny. I'm what I would call chubby. And my BMI, I'm in the overweight range. And I have, you know, I have that minnow belly. So I'm not a skinny person. And yet I'm very sensitive to medications. I'm very sensitive to alcohol. I had this much Bailey's last night. It was wonderful. And that's all I had. You know, and a glass of wine, I'm lucky if I finish it and it has, you know, intense effect on me. And caffeine a little goes a long way as well. And so I'm in a point where I've induced my caffeine breaking down hormones or enzymes so that I can have a little bit more. And of course, if I exercise, I can tolerate more caffeine. So everybody's different. And just because somebody is large doesn't mean they're going to need a bigger dose, but sometimes it does. And just because somebody's small doesn't mean that they're going to need a low dose. They may need a higher dose because they have a really fast metabolism, or they may need less because they are small and they just don't need as much. You can do it in milligrams per kilogram. It really depends. And if you have something that tends to affect people different ways, it's a good idea to have ways to offer them the supplement in a way that they can manipulate the dose. So that's helpful. What else can help with seasonal affective disorder? Magnesium. It's so important for various bodily functions, brain function, mood regulation. It is a cofactor for the metabolism of serotonin. So if you don't have adequate magnesium, you won't metabolize your serotonin well. And we know that serotonin is one of the things that affects seasonal affective disorder. So magnesium is super important for this. Magnesium also helps you with relaxation. It helps with blood sugar. If you don't have good blood sugar regulation, you won't sleep as well. And magnesium helps you to sleep in a number of ways because it manages serotonin, because it manages liver detox. So you're going to metabolize things that keep you awake better and more efficiently. Magnesium also relaxes your muscles. It relaxes your muscles and it relaxes your nerves. So if your nerves are more relaxed, your brain is going to be more relaxed and you're going to be able to sleep better. And if your blood sugar is more regulated, you'll be able to sleep better. And if your muscles are more relaxed, you just feel more relaxed. It's like when you get in the bathtub, in the Epsom salt bath, The magnesium sulfate touches your nerve endings, sends a signal down the length of the nerves, and it makes you generally relaxed. So when you take it in your body, it gets all over and it'll get to your nerves, it'll get to your muscles, and you'll just feel more generally relaxed. And people tend to be magnesium deficient. Why? Because they don't eat good, because they eat white things. They eat white bread and white cheese and maybe a little bit of poor quality meat, and they don't eat enough produce. And what's the thing that you eat that has the magnesium? Mostly it's the leafy greens. So you have to eat green stuff. And I try to get us to eat green stuff every day. We almost didn't eat green stuff with Thanksgiving because we had so many sides. And so Ron finally made some broccoli, which was great. And so we had a little bit of broccoli. But most of the time we're eating like big salads. Every few days we're having big salads. We have more salads in the summer because you feel more like eating salads. This time of year, we want soup. We went with stir fries, and I try to get Ron to make sure we put greens in the stir fries, but we don't always make it. So I take a bunch of magnesium, and I found that my magnesium levels are pretty good. And I'm looking at how much magnesium. I'm taking about 500 milligrams right now, half of it citrate and half of it glycinate malate. And that's working for me. And if I take too much magnesium, my body informs me of it by interesting trips to the bathroom. And that is how you will know that you're taking too much magnesium as well, that you will get loose stool. Because magnesium, if you don't absorb the magnesium, your body will excrete it through your stool. Magnesium is hygroscopic. It draws water to it. And so it will make your stool more liquidy and you will have loose stools. No fun, right? Okay. So to take vitamins safely, you want to make sure you're looking at the correct dosage, side effects. Please talk to your doctor, talk to your naturopathic physician, talk to your nutrition, talk to somebody who knows about vitamins. If you find that your primary care doesn't know that much about vitamins, find a practitioner who does. Nothing against the primary care. I'm always encouraging people to have primary care physicians, and I find it frustrating in the state of Connecticut where I can't. I don't have prescriptive authority. There are some things I would like to be able to prescribe. And, you know, thanks to my state association, they're always working on that. And at some point, hopefully we'll get prescriptive authority. Before I retire would be nice, but maybe not. I don't know. And it's also possible that if I'm pretty close to retiring, because what'll happen is if they get prescriptive authority to us in Connecticut, we're going to have to take a jurisprudence test. Jurisprudence, but also a pharmacy test. We're probably going to have to do some continuing education and then take an exam to certify us to be able to prescribe. The other thing that could happen is if we have prescriptive authority is our malpractice will go up. So I may not want to deal with that, given that I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to be seeing patients, given that I am 61 years old. And don't be sad. I mean, you know, if I retire, I will probably continue to see a few patients, and I'll certainly continue, maybe not as frequently, but I'll certainly continue to do this show and podcast and maybe go on TV and speak at conferences. I'll have more energy to do that if I'm not seeing patients. And I don't mind public speaking, and I don't mind making this show. This is not as stressful as direct patient care, obviously. So I don't mind being in front. I'm very fortunate. And I always found that very fortunate that, you know, when I had to start my practice in Newfoundland, and I was the first naturopathic physician in the province of Newfoundland, they never had a naturopath before. And now they have a bunch, including Kathleen Mercer, who was my student when I was there. But they'd never seen one before. So, and I didn't have a lot of patients, so I'd run around and market. And if I had a fear of public speaking, I had to get over that yesterday. Fortunately, I did. So I've continued to do public speaking and broadcasting since Newfoundland. And the idea of doing this show, Radio Naturopath, happened in Newfoundland when I was very fortunate that the local CBC had me on. They had a talk show called Crosstalk, and they put me on the show, and people could hear Crosstalk all over Atlantic Canada. So people were calling. I remember a guy called in from Summerside, Prince Edward Island. That was very cool. And I answered a question for him, and people were asking questions from all over Atlantic Canada where they were listening. And I got air checks, tapes of the show, and it went so well that they asked me back two more times, which was terrific. And then when I got to Nova Scotia, I didn't manage to get on the radio in Nova Scotia, but I got on TV, and there was a local midday talk show host in Halifax named Dwayne Lowe, and she had me on. That was great. That was really cool. And somewhere there's a tape of me, a videotape of me doing a women's program that went across Canada. It was very cool. So when you're in a smaller pond, you have more access to media and stuff, and that was very cool. I was in the capital of Newfoundland. I'm not in Hartford here, although, you know, Hartford is accessible. But in terms of broadcasting, other naturopaths seem to get into that. I mean, WHUS has had me since, my goodness, I've been on WHUS since 2002. Oy vey, which means 22 years. Can you even believe it? It'll be 23 come January. So anyway, but this is very convenient because I started in Willimantic and now I'm in Mansfield, so WHUS is very convenient. So you want to make sure your supplements are high quality, and that's something a naturopathic physician or nutritionist can vet for you. They can tell you if the supplements you're taking are high quality or not. I always want to see, when patients tell me, they give me lists of their supplements, they write vitamin B12, vitamin C, St. John's wort, and they just give me a list of what they're taking. Maybe they give me doses, maybe they don't. And they don't tell me the brands, and I have to tell them I need to know the brand because I need to know exactly what is in it, because vitamin C is not vitamin C. Your magnesium might have magnesium stearate in it, which is going to make it harder to absorb, so I need to know stuff like that. And so if you're bringing your supplements to your naturopath or you're talking to a practitioner about your supplements, they need to know as much information about it as possible. Either you need to take photos of the front and side panel of the vitamins, or you need to bring the bag. When they bring the bag, I really appreciate it because I can see it. I can see exactly what they're taking, even if it's a pain for them to bring all their stuff. Then I can see it. Sometimes what happens is they tell me what it is. If they can't remember the brand or the strength, I have to send them home with homework. Let me know the brand and strength. And it's okay. Just tell me what it is. And you can email it to me, or you can email me text, or you can email me pictures, whatever you want to do. And it's possible to overdose in vitamins and minerals. One of my sayings is anything can do anything to anyone because of why? Biochemical individuality. So you have to make sure that you're taking a dose that works for you. And if you have a good practitioner, like a naturopathic physician, we can help you figure out what that is. All right. Well, I talked enough today. So we talked about mostly seasonal affective disorder. Next visit, we'll talk a little bit more about osteoarthritis. And I have lots more information. I always have lots more information for you. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician. My co-host Ron Meniza will be making his shows on a different day for the month of December because he's teaching a fitness class at our usual time. You can email me with questions and comments in radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprout. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at Fran Storch ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org.